Wow. Amen. Amen. Just I'd like to invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. This is our theme passage, verses 3 through 9, 2 through 9, right in there, just dealing with the idea of the really in the last song that we just sang, the provision that's been given to us and the provision that is given to you and I every single day, every moment of the day, and that is the fact that we have Jesus Christ in us. And He is our righteousness. But as we are moving into this series, one of the things, and I just want to kind of maybe preface it by saying in our Sunday school, we have one class that we are looking at. It's called Bible 101, and it's not a demeaning title, okay? It's just basically looking at the Bible from this perspective, the redeeming power of God, that God has a redemptive plan from beginning to end, amen? And here's the amazing thing. You and I, as small and insignificant as we are a part of that plan. So that's one side. The other Sunday school story that meets in the classes meeting is in here. And Pastor Louis Giglio is doing a deal called Indescribable. And he is going at it from a different perspective. And that is the grandeur and the grandioseness of God. Just the hugeness of God. And again, the smallness of man. And then, not only are we thought about, Not only have we been planned about, but we were created in His image. And so if you're not a part of a Sunday school class, we really invite you to come and be a part of that and just enjoy just one of those other perspectives. I will show the passion part, the Louis Giglio part later on this same year. And so if you miss it the first time, you'll get to see it again. So go to the other class so you can go to one of them. All right, and then we'll pick up from there. But 2 Peter, let me just read this again, just to get our bearings straight. And I hope that this is a piece that you would go home and just read and ponder and let it absorb. And you know, one of the things that I like to do is I like to my favorite go-to text is probably New American Standard. But then a lot of times I'll go to NIV and I'll go to New Living and I'll go to an Amplified. I'll just read some different translations just because I want to catch just the fullness of what's being said here. So again, in New American Standard, it says this, starting in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Let me just put in there, of God. Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust or by the flesh, this brokenness that we still struggle with every day. All right. And so since this has been given to us now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities, did you catch that? For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could just stop there. That's just an amazing hallelujah chorus, right? But here's something, and we need to understand the author Peter. Okay? We need to understand what he is reflecting back on. Remember, years ago when he was walking with Christ, and he said, Lord, I, out of all these guys, will never forsake you and I will never deny you. And in that moment of test, Jesus says, no, you will deny me three times. This is the man who was writing these words. This very man is reflecting back on his Savior and his Lord Jesus Christ. So then he says these words in verse 9, For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Folks, I don't know about you, but I forget a lot of where I once was. I don't know about you. And I tend to think that I'm okay. And the Apostle Peter here reminds us that in just very strong words, for he who lacks these qualities that have been listed in 5 through 7, if we lack these qualities, which I'll just say because we're going to get to it a little bit later on in this series, these qualities aren't yours. They belong to God. Okay? You can't conjure them up. You can't create them. You can't make them. You cannot do this. They're without him. They're his. But they're his because of Christ in us. And so he says, for he who lacks these qualities that are in you, that can be in you, that should be in us. And I use that word should carefully because all of us are going to go out there and try them, okay? To make it happen. Okay? For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. So last week we began to look at three areas of blindness that really consume us and distract us from this in-between of what God has already done in Christ Jesus, right? We're all aware of that, and we're also very aware of where we're all going to go. We sang it at the beginning. We're all going to go to heaven, right? If we're a believer, if Jesus is the Lord of our lives, we're all going to go to heaven. And all God's people said? Okay, 5 of you said that. No, just joking. No, you were all there, okay? Okay, we're excited about that. But one of the things that happens is we forget about the in-between. God didn't just save us through his son and then say, you're going to be with me one day. He said that, and Paul says this in Philippians, that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete that good work until the day of the Lord Jesus. He is faithful. And so in this right now, here and now moment, which is 24/7, moment by moment, God desires to change you and to change me. He desires to change our hearts. And so when we lose sight of this present work, we become spiritually blind to our identity that Peter's speaking about here in Christ Jesus, which causes some amazing, incredible things in you and I. We begin to search for significance and purpose and meaning outside of the realms of who we are in God's grace. And I guarantee you, folks, it happens instantaneously. And so last week, we spoke about 4 of those. We spoke about the blindness of achievement, where we just say, if I can just achieve or succeed and maybe climb the corporate ladder or whatever it might be, that will be my significance and my purpose and my meaning will be found in that. But we know that it's short-sighted. And then we talked about acceptance, and I can relate to this. I mean, one of my mottos growing up was, my goal was that everybody would like me. And I would do whatever it would take for them to like me, even if it meant not being honest. But acceptance, I would desire to be accepted at any cost almost. Compromise can come in. All sorts of things can come in. And then there was just the whole area of physical things. And we talked about this, that no matter where we go, there are physical things that you and I can see with our amazing eyes that God has created. And yet here's the thing, They were all created for our goodness and our pleasure when they're used according to His will. But when they are, when those things are taken outside of His will and become perverted, then they can become the things that distract us from God. And then we talked about our performance and how we just think, if I can just perform. And folks, even within the Christian paradigm, the Christian world, so much of the Christianity has been caught up in, if I must do something in
also, after listening to
here, up, there we go. So we're on. So we are. All right. To the praise of His glory. Not your glory, not my glory. So Peter understood this. When Peter is writing these words in the book of 2 Peter, he understands the need for the restoration of his identity. And I reflect back in John chapter 18, after Jesus had denied Peter and he's out fishing, and then Jesus is on the beach and he comes back in with the disciples, And here's the deal. He had lost his identity. And one of the things that we just need to understand is he had allowed his betrayal to define who he was. How many of you have ever said, God could never accept me because of, and you fill in the blank? At least once in your life. Okay? Because of his betrayal, he allowed his betrayal to identify, to define him. Yet here's the thing, and just as John continues the narrative in John 21, Jesus is standing on the beach and he fully restores Peter. He forgives him. And here's the thing that just blows my mind. In his forgiveness, he loves Peter. He wraps his arms around him. And it's not in the text, but you know it's there. He loves Peter. In that moment, his amazing, loving, forgiving, accepting grace is poured all over Peter, restoring his identity and his Savior and Lord. And I want you to know at that moment in time, Peter, the apostle, was never the same again. He was a changed man. Did he have struggles? Yeah. Did he deal with people issues? Yeah. Did he have other hardship circumstances? Absolutely, because that's where we live in the here and now, right? But because of Christ, he was never the same. So that area of blindness is the first thing. The spiritual blindness, who we are in Christ. And then we move to the second one, and that second blindness is this. It's blindness to God's provision. So this it's another hole, if you will, in our understanding of the present work, the here and now work of Christ in our lives. And it deals with God's provision. And in verse 3, Peter has just said this. You have been given everything that you need for life and godliness. You've been given everything. Not just a little, not just some, not just enough to eke by, but you've been given what? Everything you need for life and godliness. Now, I want you to look at his selection of words here because he says life and godliness. And so you're going, well, what in the world is Peter trying to get at? Because he could have just said the word life and he could have just said godliness and we might have understood that or whatever. But here's the thing that I want you to understand that Peter is saying. That God, in using Peter's words, uses godliness to define life. So godliness is a qualifier of the first word, life. So to live godly, God has given you everything that you need to live godly. You see, one of the things that happens, if Peter would have just said that God has given us everything that we need for life, here's what happens, and I've actually heard it preached this way many, many times. We use the word, we take the word life, and we insert the word before life, and we say this, God has given us everything for eternal life. And we all go, amen, right? But that's not what Peter is saying here. He is saying that He has given us everything to live godly in the here and now. Okay? We love the fact that we have eternal life, right? We love the fact that it's a done deal. We just read in Ephesians that we're sealed. We love that. But Peter is saying that he has given us everything. See, we find it much easier to embrace the gospel. That is the redemptive story of God, that gospel promise of life after death, don't we? We love that. Okay? We embrace that. But here's the thing that we really struggle with, okay? There's a verse in John 10:10 and it's not in your notes, but I put it in there later. But Jesus makes this promise. I came that they might have life, and that life what? Folks, when does that happen? Right now. In the in-between. But do we really live that way, or do we really believe that all the time? No, we think life abundantly starts when we get out of this mess and get to heaven. So we're looking for an abundant life that is yet to come. And Jesus says, I came that you might have life, and that life more abundantly. That you and I might be able to, in this life, in the in-between, live a godly life. So the definition then of godliness, if you will, encompasses a God-honoring life from the time that we come to Jesus Christ until the time that we go home to be with Him in heaven. Now, this brings back something that when we started the series that I talked about, and I just want to bring it back to your thing. As a Christian, somehow we understand grace, right? That we've received something that we don't deserve. God's unmerited favor. We understand that, and our eyes are opened, and the layers of our heart are peeled back, and we're able to believe and to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and it's nothing more than God's amazing grace that does that, right? And then somehow, something happens. Somehow, we close that back up again, and everything else from that point on is all up to us. Somehow we're going to do it. We're going to work. We're going to work harder. We're going to serve harder. I'm going to love my wife. Okay, I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to be the best that I can be at work. I'm gonna drive slower. That's for Bert, okay? I'm gonna do whatever it takes. But did you just hear what I just said? I. So I just want you to know, how many times in the I did a oops come after that? Every time. Because we go from grace to works. We go from God's hand, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's love, God's acceptance, God's rich mercy that He pours in His, and He is faithful and His mercies are new every morning. We go from that perspective of God to I have to attain God's favor. And we live crippled, blind. So Peter, he implies that we can't live properly in the present unless we understand the provision that God has made. And as believers, you and I are blind to the fact that this provision runs deeper than obedience to God's commandments and His principles and His promises that we normally associate with the pursuit of living a holy life. We look at the Ten Commandments. Folks, can I just tell you something about the Ten Commandments? They were God's loving fence parameter to say, you need me, like the last song that we just sang, because you can't do this without me. In fact, you so can't do it without me that my provision goes beyond just the law. It goes to the fact that I gave my Son to live in you. That's how deep it goes. So it's more fundamental than our legal standing of forgiveness. Yeah, we're forgiven. Amen? In Christ Jesus, we're forgiven. And God's provision for a holy life right here and now is literally, and you just heard me say it, but it is Christ Himself. God Himself has given Himself to you and to me. That is His provision. I don't think you're tracking with me today. Folks, the reality of what I have just said should blow our minds and our hearts. God, the one who created everything, the one who lives outside of His own creation because He is so big, gave Himself for you. And not only did He give Himself for you, but He gave Himself to live in you. That is His provision. That is what He has given us. And that's why the Apostle Paul then could say, maybe on the heels or in sync with Peter, can say in Galatians 2, it is no longer I who lives, but who? But Christ lives in me. As a Christian, that's where we are. It's not that I just take Jesus with me. I got my friend Jesus. You know, because you know what happens when we do that? Because this is what we do. Hey, you need to stay here right now because I'm going to go say something that you don't want to be around, okay? Or I'm going to go do something that you don't want to see. Or I'm going to act in a certain way and I just don't, you just need to, I'll be back. Folks, that is not His provision. So folks, it doesn't matter what we say and what we do and how we act or whatever it is, we need to understand if we are born again in Jesus Christ, God is in us. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me and He lives in you. That is His provision. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, it's not only that promise because He came to the earth to live among men. Okay, we need to understand this. That was the promise in John chapter 1. Okay, the promise of Him coming, God among us, Emmanuel. Okay? But because He actually lives in us by His Spirit. His indwelling presence gives us everything we need to be who we were supposed to be and to do what we were supposed to do for a godly life. Now, I know what some of you are thinking because I've thought this my whole Christian life, you guys. I can't do it. Do you see what I just did? I just accepted the fact that God has done it all, and then I hear the word godly life, and I immediately go to, I can't do it. And Peter is reminding us how quickly in this passage that we just go blind. We're blind. Without the awareness of Christ's presence, we tend to live, and just listen to this, we tend to live anxiously. We tend to worry. How many of you worry? It's okay. This is a safe place. No one will tell on you. Okay? You're anxious. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Okay? I leave all that to Teresa. Actually, you know what? I just bury it better than she does. She wears hers on her sleeve. I don't. I just act like it's okay. You know? We all worry. We're all nervous, okay? But without the awareness of Christ in us, we tend to live anxiously. We avoid the hard things and are easily overwhelmed. I hate hard things. I hate difficult situations. I don't like conflict with people. One of our dear friends, folks, from this church, she hasn't been in a while. She's been really sick. Lori Sergitas, if you remember, we baptized her a year or two ago, and frail. I mean, I was afraid to put her in the water then. And she's been battling with health issues, and a week ago Saturday, she passed away. You know what? I'm okay with that, because she testified of her faith. But here's the scary thing. Last Sunday afternoon, Tony, her husband, and their daughter show up on my front doorstep. And you can see the pain on their face. Is this? Please don't take this wrong, okay? It's almost like you want to peer through the curtain because someone's knocking out there. And you want to make sure, you know, should you answer the door or not? But Teresa actually answered the door and they just walked in, you know? And we were meeting with a couple, and then when we were finished there, then I went over to see the family. But you know what, folks? It's not just because I'm the pastor that's hard. Because it's all hard for us, right? When life is tough, when the circumstances of life, and in this case, death happens, and someone that we know, and someone that I cannot tell you the countless times that I've talked. That Teresa and I have talked to Lori and that we've talked to Tony, and we've actually had Tony on our back porch just to take pictures because he has a big camera. He loves to get pictures. And we've just had conversation after conversation, and now then to come alongside of someone in their toughest, most difficult time of loss. Do we struggle? Yeah. We avoid hard things and we're easily overwhelmed. But I want you to understand, friends, something. I want you to understand something. That a clear sense of identity in Christ Jesus and a clear sense of God's provision that has been given to you and I is our only hope and our only way, courage, the only way that we can have the courage to face the struggles and the battles and the temptations that come our way every single day of our lives. It's the only way. And so the song that we sang, I need you, Lord, okay? It's not that we don't have him. That's just something we need to pray every day. We need to be asking that every moment of the day. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Why? Because without him, I am completely deficit. Without him, I am completely bankrupt. Without him, I am just broken, and I will fail, and I will fail, and I will run, and I will not go the way that he wants me to go. But with him and his provision and his identity, you and I can overcome. See, our problem in this sense of provision is when we forget Him. And we forget what He has done for us. And when we forget, we become blind to the overwhelming provision we have in Christ. But I just want to say today, folks, you and I, if you are a believer today, have a new identity in Christ Jesus. Amen? You have been made new. Behold, all old, the old has been taken away, and now all has been made new. And in that newness, He has given you, okay? He has granted you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. He has given it to you. So I want you to understand something today as I close. When I choose to keep my eyes blind to what this is saying, then I forget from where I once was. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Here's some questions. What difficult life circumstance, relationship, job, health, etc., are you facing right now? Think about that. What difficult life circumstance, relationship, job, health, anything, whatever it might be, are you facing right now? Second question. What does the promise of eternal life provide for that difficult life circumstance? What does God's provision provide for you in the midst of that? Third, how does the power of Christ in you and in me provide for that difficult life circumstance even today? Think about that. How, number four, how can you or how can I live a more God-honoring life today in the midst of that difficult life circumstance? Do you understand how I just read that? The hard circumstance didn't go away. Folks, they don't go away. In this life, they're not going to go away. Okay? We're going to struggle in this life, right? Okay? If someone sold you a bill of goods when you become a Christian, just saying life's going to be hunky-dory now, I'm sorry, I apologize for their lie. Okay? Because it's not that God has failed, it's that we're broken still. It's not that the overall completion of Christ is not complete. That is that He paid the price and the penalty of sin has been paid for, and the penalty of sin is what? Death. But that doesn't alleviate the brokenness. And it doesn't alleviate the fact that it's called sanctification, that God is in a plan right now to make you like Jesus Christ. And I love that other song that says that, you know, that, I can't remember all the words, but even when we don't deserve it, He gives it to us. God is faithful. He is faithful, you guys. And then the last thing that I just want you to consider as we close this part of our worship today. And it's not inward, it's outward, okay? Because we are a body, we're a family. And the question is, how can you or how can I counsel other believers facing difficult circumstances? You see, here's one of the things that I just want to share as we close. When we're blind, we think more about self than we think about others. When we're wrapped up in the midst of our brokenness, our struggles, our life circumstances, our people issues, whatever they might be, folks, we tend to become so inward that we can't even look outward. But God's provision in Christ Jesus allows us to see life and circumstances and hardships and people and situations, all those things. He allows us, he enables us, he empowers us to see through the eyes of Christ. So now we see people and situations through Christ. Folks, it's not our job to fix. That's God's job. It's not our job to fix people. It's not really, unless maybe they're really out of line and they need to be confronted. But even then, we're not fixing them. We're only confronting what is causing them to be blind. And we're doing that in love. It says that in Galatians 6, to do that in brotherly love and in patience and with kindness. But the whole issue that we have been given this amazing opportunity because of our identity is in Christ, and now our provision is in Christ and through God, and now because of that, we have been called to be his ambassadors. We've been called to be his servants. But when we're blind to all that, it's all about us. It's all about us. God has already removed the blinders. Amen? So we need to accept who we are in Christ. And we need to every day remember his ongoing gracious provision for us. So bow your heads with me today. And as your heads are bowed, I just want to say, and as our worship team comes to take their place, I just want to say this. You might be here today and maybe you haven't received Christ as your personal Savior and this is brand new to you. And I just want you to know that you can have a new identity in Christ Jesus today. If you would believe that he came to die on a cross to pay the price for your sins. That he came and by his sacrifice of his body and his shed blood, that all the sins of the entire world, of your entire life, have been eradicated. They have been erased. But now the gift is yours, extended to you to receive, to believe by faith. And I just invite you right in the quietness of your heart before we sing this last song as we close, that you would invite the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives you new identity, and through God's provision every single day of your life, that you would become that new person in Christ Jesus. And for the rest of us here today, my friends, the body of Christ, Eatonville Baptist Church, embrace. Together, let us embrace our identity in Christ Jesus. And let us be filled each and every day with what he gives as he pours out that grace day after day, moment after moment, minute after minute, as he pours his grace into our lives, as he provides for us and strengthens us. May we give him all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.